The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, it's Professor Stephen Manning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hope everyone's enjoying the weather.
Absolutely.
Getting out of the house, out of the office.
Mm-hmm. A few people suspiciously.
Out of the department meeting.
Yep, left early today because they just like to get out there and walk in weather like this, and I simply cannot blame them. My house felt very cold last night. I was like gathering the covers up in bed because the furnace hadn't been on all day. It's warm enough, and then everything kind of cooled down after the sun went out. So
yeah,
it's kind of a weird weather pattern, but
we'll take it.
Could be the new one. Could be the new weather pattern.
We could be
us.
In San Diego.
That's anything's. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Yikes.
Anything in California. No thanks at this point. The mudslides into the backyard. That may be. Honestly, I would rather see a tornado in the distance. Oh, that's an oddity. Like seeing the hill coming towards you. I don't know if I could handle that. But I'm sure they say the same thing about the stuff that we have to
ice
deal
storms.
With around here. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
When you think about one ice storm, okay, so we stay at home. Right?
Yeah,
just,
that's true.
We deal with it.
I know. And Beth was slamming her fist down like, snow day, snow day. And I don't know if we're going to have another one.
I know.
Yeah, it's...
Sorry.
Well, we haven't technically even had one.
No.
But a lot of other,
it was that,
you know,
last Tuesday of
stuff.
Last week.
It was in the middle of the morning, right? And then it snowed all day.
Well, we've had no clearing of our streets in the neighborhood that we pay for, you know, through our fee. Because they don't do it until we get... It used to frustrate me. They finally fixed it. I don't know if it was a result of my phone call, but the newsletter used to say, we've contracted with someone. Whenever we get 4 inches to 6 inches, they will come to do, you know. I said, well, wait a minute. The implication of that is if we get less than 4, which makes sense, but if we get more than 6, they're not going to do it. It should just be... Four inches or more.
Doesn't the city do it after that?
Well, this is not the city. We contract
for
privately.
But the city has, if they you didn't contract privately, the city would still have an obligation to your neighborhood? I thought the city did 6 inches and more.
I haven't seen a city snowplow truck in my neighborhood in
forever.
Almost the 30 years I've lived there.
Wow.
So
wow.
But I thought after the...
But they finally corrected the 4 to 6 thing. They just made it the right way. It's going to be 4 inches of continuous snow.
We've had a little bit of snow, but that's basically
I've shoveled twice and no more than 3 inches each time.
No, it's true.
You know?
Yeah, but you get the streets in our neighborhood turn into a little ice rink.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
We do see every once in a while a city plow in the great city of Berkeley.
Oh, all the time.
It's pretty good.
We live in a great city.
We do.
We do.
My dad was grilling some burgers last night for a family dinner. And was out there just wearing a flannel, you know, because it was pretty warm yesterday, too. But everybody walking by with their dog is like, oh, you're grilling in February. I'm like, Dad, you've done that before. It's not like that out of the ordinary. But it felt right, you know, like to smell the burgers.
There are people that grill all year round.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can do that.
There's that one house around the block from us, man. You know, that I wonder if I walked by and took a steak, would they notice?
I had a professor in grad school who told me he'd stood out like in 6 inches of snow and
doing
grilling, and I'm like,
it's a great way to stay warm.
He grew up here, so that probably... Sure.
I went to my advisor's house once for Thanksgiving, and this is in Madison, Wisconsin, and there was snow, it was about 2 feet of snow on the ground, and it was snowing on Thanksgiving Day, and he had a turkey on the grill in the backyard.
Why not?
There we go.
Why not?
He would go
I'd
out every half hour, he'd go out and periodically baste that
weather
thing.
Weather shall not deter us.
Dan, how often do you grill? Is it a thing at your house?
Not in the summer, 3-4 nights a week.
Nice.
Almost constantly.
Nice.
Yes.
That's the way to do it right there. Professor Dave Chow is here.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
From his front porch, he can see me grilling in my driveway, mostly.
I think.
If I'm there.
Oh, okay. Not that I watch or anything
like that.
No,
not that you watch or
anything.
You
don't grill on your... You have a nice back deck.
We do have a nice deck. And what I've noticed is that I worry all the time about the heat pouring off the grill getting too close to the siding of the house or the garage.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I tend to pick it up and move to the driveway.
That's what I do, too. I don't... If we had aluminum, it might be a different matter. But
yes.
We have vinyl siding now, so...
Gotta be careful. Professor Beth Oljar is here.
Hello.
Hello. And you were talking about pizza. So, as always... We've done pizza. We've done ice cream. We just
it always comes back to food.
Always comes back to food. Pizza actually does sound good. And this is a night where Leslie's going out with some friends. And so I know the boys are going to be like, where are we supposed to drive to get our junk food, Dad? I'd be like, go make yourself a sandwich.
I thought for sure you were going to send them to my porch.
You know, go to A&W and see if they're having free conies, and you can send
conies.
Emmett
conies.
Up to get another one for
free
you.
Free conies? Exactly.
There was a time when there were dime conies. Those were the days, let me tell you.
And he would use his children shamelessly as a way to get more.
More hot dogs. That's right.
Isn't this what I had children for?
100% yard work and free conies. This is a program, folks, where you can send us questions regarding anything. Stump the panel, win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. Email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear professors, I said to myself, before I go to sleep tonight, I was finally going to send this batch of questions that I've been marinating on our computer since the end of December. We've hung on to them long enough. It's high time we contributed to your fine show again. Happiest of New Year's, and as always, from Valencia, California, warmest greetings from Frank and the family Burrows.
Frank!
Thanks for sending this in.
You're the man. And the family.
Yes, the whole place. The whole shebang. Which of the Wright brothers was older?
Orville.
It does say Orville. Do you know by how many years?
Seven?
Three.
Four.
Four is what it says here, but it could be three by the calendars. There were a lot of Wright brothers. This is definitely something right up my wife's alley. Roiklin was the oldest. Then Lauren,
L-O-R-I-N. Wasn't there also a sister in the batch, too?
Orville. Otis, and then, of course, Otis. Wilbur, the baby of the family. So.
Wilbur.
Is it Roiklin?
R-E-U-C-L-I-N. Roiklin? Roiklin?
Yeah, gotta be a family name.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Wait,
yeah.
What was Sherlock Holmes' brother's name?
Mycroft.
Okay.
Yes, Mycroft Holmes. Okay. Not his sister, Enola. That's a different story.
Those are great movies, actually. Yes, both of them are very good.
I heard they're really good. What is the strange coincidence with the chemical compound sodium citrate and the nacho cheese that you get on your chips?
Where is Kendra? I mean, this is a perfect question for her.
One element or bond separating them or something like that.
I mean, you're in the wheelhouse. I definitely can give you that.
I mean, is this a Kendra Evans question if ever there was one? Probably. Tie this in with Taco Bell and it's her.
I'm going to cut it out and we're going to tape it to the bottom of the table and the next time she's here.
I say put it on her door.
So what's the question again? I don't think I caught the end of it.
The strange coincidence.
Okay, between.
For the compound sodium citrate and nacho cheese that you put on your
It bubbles.
It contains sodium citrate.
So the nacho cheese does contain sodium citrate.
It
is added for smooth and creamy texture. The chemical formula of sodium citrate is sodium 3, carbon 6, hydrogen 5, O7. And if you remove the numbers, it spells the word nacho. N-A-C-H.
Oh.
I think that's the best thing that I've ever heard.
Like I said, it's a Kendra question.
That is a Kendra question.
It totally
yes.
is.
Yes. Wow. There's your nacho related trivia.
I can imagine going up to the drive-thru tonight and asking for that. So.
Oh my gosh. How many freshwater lakes are there on the island of Bermuda? Let's take a look at the Caribbean map here. The legend might be blocking
it's
it.
Blocked.
How many freshwater lakes are there on the island of Bermuda?
I don't know. Six.
Well, there can't be many.
Bermuda's not that big.
It's not that big.
Can't be many. Gotta give you partial credit for that.
Four.
None?
There's zero is what it says. Zero. They don't have any natural source of fresh water on the island.
So what, desalination?
So they rely on rainfall for 70% of local water.
Ooh.
That's weird, man.
I've watched Help a lot of times, and there's no lakes when they go to the Bahamas. So
there you go. There is limited freshwater aquifer, but the water is not, as we say, potable in the world of chemistry. So weird stuff. I know we've had this in multiple different ways, but probably the number is changing. What percentage of internet traffic actually comes from humans using the internet as opposed to bots, cryptocurrency mining, and hacking tools that are on autopilot?
40%.
That is basically exactly correct. 38%. Yeah.
Wow.
It's just only 38% of humans.
My email inbox would concur.
And the internet will bring us all closer together.
Oh, yes. Well, in some pockets it did. In other pockets, not so much.
Not so much.
I will encourage our listenership to go check out Adam Conover's take on why Elon Musk was so adamant about taking over Twitter. It's actually very enlightening. It's something that could show up in one of your classes someday, because he recognized that it was 100% free, 100% sandbox, and that it brought people together. And he consciously chose, I have to shut that down, because that's the only thing on earth that's doing that right now. It's really disturbing, actually, even more than
usual.
He's
pretty disturbing.
He's pretty disturbing. So it checks out.
Makes sense.
Wasn't there some point he was actually admirable?
I don't know. I mean, was there a point when Trump was admirable? Like,
no.
Yeah, never,
ever.
No, I'm just trying to think, you know, like his
but
SpaceX.
But Elon Musk
stuff.
Had actual accomplishments. I
True. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay, maybe that's what I'm going to. Okay.
Right. Born on that's third right. versus hitting a triple. That's I've heard that analogy more
right,
than once.
Right, right.
So. I mean, a rocket that can come back and land.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
Professors, did you know the military dogs, the actual ones commissioned in the U.S. military, always rank officially one rank higher than their human handler? Do you know why?
It's for officer abuse.
Basically, officer abuse. You are not allowed in the world of the MP to abuse a senior officer in any way, shape, or form. And that's the way
so
they legally hold
yes.
you.
Yeah,
exactly.
My cousin has the same issues with his canine as well. So.
Oh, well, there you go. Hmm. Captain.
But how...
What?
I don't know. It just seems so odd that you would have to prevent that, because I don't understand why people would abuse animals. But
I think it's more of a tradition that's kind of cool. Like, oh, and here's Sergeant whatever. You know, he outranks me.
Sergeant
you know
Fluffy.
I mean? Sergeant Fluffy, exactly.
So the dog barks and I have to say, yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. I will admit this. When I was out at my cousin's house, I mean, that dog gave me the stare down of a lifetime. Jeez. And that dog also gets fed better than the rest of us. I mean, it was... You know.
Well, so you better be careful with, you know, putting Kenai into certain special places if he outranks you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I can't put him in the brig. It sounds like
you could try.
Exactly. What was your rank when you left the Navy?
My rank?
Yeah.
Compared to his?
Were you a lieutenant? What?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was never an officer, no.
Okay.
No, I was an enlisted man.
Enlisted.
Okay. Deck swabber.
I went to college as a result of being in the in the service.
Right.
As
the
GI many people
bill.
Do.
Who is the female singer on Kenny Loggins' hit Whenever I Call You
Stevie
Friend?
Nicks.
It is Stevie Nicks. Didn't even finish the sentence. Excellent.
I'm a huge Kenny Loggins fan,
That's
and
awesome.
He just turned 76.
That's right.
Believe it
That's
or
right.
not.
Well, Stevie Nicks, didn't she just play last year at Pine Knob?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
She was doing a solo tour.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Professors, what toy was originally called a bandolier in the 17th century? So it goes all the way back that far. That should narrow it down at least a little bit. That's good, but...
Wrong.
No. It's a toy.
That's not... Is that a toy?
A toy called a bandolier from the 1600s that we still use today. My kids have a couple.
Well, like a yo-yo?
It's a yo-yo.
Oh, okay.
We call it a yo-yo, yeah. Everyone's familiar with the Auguste Rodin sculpture called The Thinker in front of the DIA, but that is the third casting made from the original. How many castings of The Thinker were ever made?
I think 24?
That's exactly what it says. What the hell is your problem?
You forget, I went to school across from the DIA.
Yeah, well, that is true. That is true. But does that Thinker tell you?
And he's an artist.
Psst, I'm 3 of 24.
Well, the thing I always want to do is, like, you know, put, you know, like a big roll of toilet paper and hoist it up to him. That's all.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
That's what he's looking like he needs. Right? That's what he looks
he's
like.
Contemplating
he's
life.
About.
Yes. It does look like he's sitting on a toilet pretty much for
But yeah, I've always wanted to do like a cast iron, you know, like roll of toilet paper on a stand.
Or give him a magazine.
Yeah, exactly. A magazine rack, you know. You know, give him like Sudoku to work on
give
or something.
Give him
like
a copy of the Varsity News.
No. Farmer's Almanac.
Sparts Illustrated.
Oh my gosh.
The swimsuit issue.
The Farmer's Almanac, so we can put the hook on it, too.
On the TV show Petticoat Junction, the train, the entire express...
The Hooterville Cannonball.
The Cannonball, yep, was christened with the number 8 for a very specific reason. Do you know what it is?
Number 8.
I'm As trying... per usual, you think it's symbolic, but no, it was just a random thing.
eight is good luck in China. Yeah,
true. It's no, no, I'm trying to think. Is it a filming thing where
there were eight petticoats in Petticoat Junction?
No, because if you shot the number eight, you could actually see it
from the left.
Go left or right.
Or right the right. Yes. So they could reuse the footage going in either direction. I swear I don't make this stuff up.
No, no, I mean, so no, it's a classic that is exactly thing that what they used it says. To do back in the day.
You could flip the film. Wow.
Classic storytelling.
The first choice to play Steve McGarrett on the original run of Hawaii Five-0. This is actually kind of interesting.
Wasn't Jack Lord, who the Hawaiians absolutely hated?
That's true. It was a very, very famous actor from Hollywood.
What year was that?
Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds. I think we need to go a little bit before.
A little farther.
Steve McQueen. Burt Reynolds.
Not Steve McQueen. You're kind of all
Humphrey Bogart
in the sort of like Venn diagram.
That's
Jack,
too early.
Jack Lemmon.
I could give it away instantly by saying To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, Gregory Peck.
Gregory Peck is what it says here. Yeah, really? I can see that would have been a different show, huh?
I could see that though.
Yeah,
He's got that scowl.
It would have been like if you know the first choice to play John Norman Howard in the Streisand version of The Star Is Born was Elvis, which would have been amazing. Mm-hmm. It would have been amazing.
Who was the first U.S. president who had a pet that wasn't a dog, a cat, or a bird?
Ooh. Andrew Jackson must have had snakes.
That's good, but that's not what it says.
Yeah, but that's coming
here.
Out of his head.
coming out of his ears.
No kidding.
And I don't know my presidents well enough during this era to know what number this prez was.
We
use those things a lot.
Are we talking about fish or?
It was not a fish.
Rabbit.
It was a reptile.
Oh.
It was a reptile.
It was a reptile.
So
a lizard.
Turtle.
Teddy Roosevelt.
No, that's a really good guess.
Mr. Naturalist.
No, you know, John Quincy Adams had an alligator in the White House.
Right. Alligator.
Sure, he did. What number was John Quincy Adams? Help me out here.
Five.
Five? Yeah, right. I almost said six, so I was close. All right. That's awesome. I was that scared to
alligator.
Say
that. An alligator? Why?
An alligator? What?
He was not like from New Orleans or anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm sure it was a dad issue. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess.
Yeah,
okay.
Because look who his dad was.
Of which he had no.
So,
seriously.
You know.
Seriously. There is only one South American country that technically touches both the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean.
Panama?
That's not what it says here, and I don't think Panama qualifies as South America.
Oh.
Central.
Okay, America, okay. I'm just thinking the canal, that's all.
What's at the bottom?
Yeah. Argentina, Chile?
Chile.
You know, Chile is only on one side of the continent.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Pacific side.
So Paraguay?
It's
Uruguay.
We're almost there. There's only a handful of countries.
How many more Guays are there?
South Brazil?
Not Brazil, not Colombia. Brazil.
It's Colombia. Colombia, there is Colombian land on either side of the isthmus. So technically it touches the Atlantic and Pacific.
I have to look now. Huh.
Yep. I know everybody always looks at this map we have of the states. It's not
going to
be helpful.
Oh, no.
Not going to be helpful.
We need more maps.
Good piece of trivia. Maybe the map would help. What's Michigan's oldest city by founding date? It's a good piece.
Detroit?
It's not Detroit. No, Detroit was 1701, and this predates it by just about 40 years.
Was it Mackinac Top?
Not Mackinac, but you're getting close.
The Sioux?
It's the Sioux is what it says. Sioux St. Marie
was
founded
French,
in 1668.
Ooh.
That is an old city. Wow. Not the oldest in the world, but pretty darn old.
I wonder how come it never got more popular. You know, it wasn't
pretty
more popular.
Close to the oldest in America. I mean.
Oh, it's up
that's
there,
That's
right?
really early for America.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, how come it didn't get more, you know, more people? Weather?
Good question.
No witches.
It's pretty rough up there.
True.
Man, that's all I got to say. And they only have about solid 5 weeks of what we would call nice weather every year. So it's rough
My
up there.
My dad used to travel there a lot for business.
What is actor Hugh Grant's middle name? The side note here is the world is a cruel place.
Oh, like Mycroft or something like that?
No. For the record, he usually goes, because stage name and all that, with John as his middle name, but that's not what he was given. Oh, my.
Julius.
No. Prasad. Oh,
no.
Wilbur?
I have no idea how I
Is
will.
It some British? Is
Arthur?
It
British? It's a British-y thing, but I don't even know how. Yeah.
Was
I
it
just,
like a dandy kind of
No.
They get two
it's,
middle
it's
names
a, goofy.
A lot.
Yeah, it's Hugh John Blank Grant. Starts with an M.
Land. Oh.
I just...
McAllister.
I don't know.
It's Mungo is what it says here. He was gifted the middle name Mungo by his parents.
What, as in like Mungo Jerry?
Mungo Jerry is the only thing I could think of. So
some family ancestor who served in India and thought that was cool.
Yeah, probably.
I had a grandfather that we called Munga.
There you go.
I don't know.
But it wasn't
what was the rationale for it?
I know his name was, this is my mother's father. His name was Elliot.
Huh.
Elliot, and somehow he came up with, we always knew him as kids as Munga.
Okay.
Munga.
I feel like there's something out there on the internet that would cover this. It's just like, you live your whole life, raise a family, you become a professional, but after one little kid mispronounces, man, you are bebop for the rest of your life. Like, I mean, once that comes through.
We had a number of oddly named relatives.
There you go.
We had a woman named Aha, A-H-A. A woman who worked at a bank, had many suitors, never married, took a world cruise by herself, very independent. Aha was her name.
We called my maternal grandmother Nanu.
Lita.
There you go.
And her name was, well, her real name was Gladys, but she hated it. So she went by Dottie.
Dottie.
To her friends, and my cousins used to call her Grandma Dot, and I'm like, no, that's stupid. We call her Nanu. So...
Professors, what are the two most prominent countries separated by the 49th parallel? So difficult.
Wait, 49th?
That's what it says here.
Canada and U.S.
Canada and the United States.
I'm thinking about like your family.
Too obvious. You guys I went up and I looked and, you know, that's it.
You guys make a big to-do about crossing the 48th, right?
No, the 45th.
45th. Yes. That's okay.
Why are all the other ones ignored? I don't know, but on I-75, they tell you when you cross the 45th. Oh, because it's halfway to the North Pole. That's why I'm an idiot.
Oh.
All right. Like, why do we celebrate the 45th but not anything else, you know?
Okay.
What was so remarkable about the birth of a baby named Emma Gibson?
Emma Gibson.
She became Debbie Gibson?
No. That is remarkable.
The
what?
She invented the cocktail.
Was it how she was conceived or carried?
Absolutely, that is very special.
She
about
a test
her.
Tube, yeah, test tube kid.
I mean, I'll give it to you. So stick with me here. Emma was a frozen embryo harvested, is the word they use, in 1992. She was born in 2017 to a mother who was born in 1991. So if you do the math, it's pretty scientifically interesting. Yes.
Wow.
So
she's technically, I guess, you know, depending who you ask, when you're younger than the mom?
No, I don't know if I would say that. She was born in 2017. The mother was born in 1991. But I think that the whole deal is she was frozen from 1992 until she was gestated.
So the mother was only a year older than the egg.
There we go. Thank you. From which the baby developed.
Yes. Which is really kind of weird.
Women are born with every egg fully developed at the point of birth. So that is interesting stuff. Right. Yeah. Do the math. What is the speed? Oh, I love this, actually. I saw something the other day. Is it better to walk at the regular speed or run in the rain? Which one gets you wetter? And someone actually published a paper. What's the speed of the average raindrop anywhere on Earth?
Oh, we've had this before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have.
The average raindrop as it's falling.
Right.
So what's terminal velocity for the raindrop?
Dan's going to do
15 miles per hour?
I feel like giving it to you. It's 20, but yeah, that's pretty
close
good.
Enough.
It's not like 100 miles per hour or anything.
So what was the answer to the one running or walking?
You actually can stay drier if you run because the truth is you are creating this pocket behind you where because the rain is essentially perfectly vertical, the front of you is getting more wet, but the back of you is staying almost exclusively dry. So it's just weird. I mean, that's the whole deal about cars driving. I never use my rear wiper because when I'm driving, I'm pushing through the rain instead of it.
I use mine all the time.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't
know.
The shape of the flex.
What if you don't run?
You're more stationary if you just stand.
If you don't run, you get wet on both sides, basically, is what they're saying. Yeah, so I don't know. All right.
So we should run faster when it's raining.
Yes,
to stay drier.
You can stay drier.
But it's more fun to run with no clothes on.
What about a mudslide?
When it's raining really hard.
Oh,
no, not a mudslide. Oh, my gosh. Poor California.
Here comes the Naked Miles
across the board. Throughout his 600-plus song recording career, how many songs of those did Elvis Presley write?
Not many.
Zero.
Oh, zero.
He wrote zero of them. He was a performer. Let's be serious. Okay. Right. Kind of like a Backstreet Boys kind of
thing. I just read something about his last meal.
Okay.
And it was not. What was he famous for?
Bananas.
Peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Marshmallow sandwich.
Peanut butter or something like that.
It was something like a bowl of ice cream and four chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
Or something.
Sure. Interesting.
And then they found him dead in the bathroom.
That's right. How did that come up that you read about this?
Yes. Don't ask me where.
Got it.
The same place I got the Ted Giannoulis.
Oh yeah,
it was the same site that Leslie was on.
Yeah, San Diego. Yeah, darn right. Yep. Yeah,
the movie about Elvis that Baz Luhrmann made was actually really good. I really liked it. I thought it was really good.
Are you a Luhrmann fan in general?
Yes and no. Moulin Rouge didn't do a whole lot for me. Okay, sorry, I know your idol is in it. But I love Strictly Ballroom. I loved Australia.
Okay.
I didn't like... Didn't he do The Great Gatsby?
Ooh, a good question.
The Gatsby movie. With DiCaprio. Probably because I don't like the story. I didn't like it. But yeah, I thought his Elvis film was quite good.
Didn't Luhrmann also do the Leonardo DiCaprio... Romeo and Juliet, did he direct that film? The one that came out in the 90s?
I think that's right.
Okay, because that's one of my absolute favorites. It's sort of weird. I don't know why I like that
one,
but I do.
I don't like the play, so I probably didn't.
No. Sure.
Who's the Moulin Rouge reference?
Oh.
Nicole Kidman,
of course.
And Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I need a moment.
I know. You've seen Practical Magic, haven't you?
Mm-hmm. No. Oh,
are you kidding me?
She's got a new one that's streaming called... takes place in Hong Kong, Expats.
Hmm. That's a series, I think.
Yeah, it's like
on Netflix or
something. A miniseries, like maybe six shows or something. We haven't seen it.
Practical Magic is my favorite role of hers,
Look at that.
Other than Australia, which she was also really good in. I'll have to loan you Practical Magic then.
One more before we can close this show down, professors. Let's see what we got here. I've got, what's the difference referring to a bovine as a cow versus a heifer?
Is it 1 year old versus older?
Close. It's more of a like a lifestyle choice by the cow.
lifestyle choice?
What?
So a cow has given birth and therefore can give milk, but a heifer is just sort of, I mean, you may be fattening somebody up for slaughter in the future and things like that.
Okay,
so, yeah. So there's a difference. Okay. There's a difference. Right. We do need cows to make more cows. I think that we've established that that fact. But
you will either be hamburger or you will not be hamburger.
So kind of like the spinster of the family.
Yeah, something like that. I'll be honest, when I read that question, I thought that the two terms were interchangeable. And as per usual English, they probably are. But then you're going to meet some farmer and they'll be like, actually, the heifers are over here and the cows are... I'm like, all right, you know, whatever. I'm sure they would say the same thing if I started explaining organic chemistry.
Or like talking nachos.
Yeah, nacho, exactly. Sodium citrate. I'm afraid, professors, that's all the time we have for our show today.
That's why they named nacho what they did, precisely because of the chemical formulation. I'm sure of it.
If that's true, I don't even know what I'm going to do. But I'm afraid that the time has come to say goodbye, Beth.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See you.
Dan.
Goodbye.
And Stephen.
Goodbye.
Now, these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.